5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Why have you got your glasses on?
Put moron number two on the phone.
I don't know.
I'll put on a phone.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Beautiful day is what it is, and everyone feels good when they listen to the Rush Hour because the quality's right up, of course.
Yep.
And I tell you what we've got today, Fat, is horse racing superstar family, the Friedmans, and Emma Friedman joins us. And I'm interested in just where this interview heads, because you reckon you know everything about horse racing.
I do.
I admit to knowing nothing, and I reckon with me knowing nothing, I still know more than you. Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Beautiful day down here in G-Town. And g'day to you, Mumpsy.
Hi, Fat. Hi, James.
Oh, come on. What is that, Raps?
Oh, it's Hey Google.
Oh. Hey Google. Hey, now, Jim, I just want to go off the top. What about the Pussycats here? Oh, hang on.
Oh, they're very, photo. Very good.
We've got a new photo, Jim.
Can you see? That's Shark Attack, Jim. So what you've got at the moment is Newsreader Jim, Prelim Jim, and Shark Attack Jim. That's when we went to Port Lincoln, onto that boat for 2 hours to swim with the great white sharks. And I've never seen a more terrified man in all of my life.
Well, and unwell, because I don't travel well on the boat, and I didn't have my tablet, so I was nearly spewing up. But it was a good time out there, Jim. It was good fun, wasn't it?
And we had a ball. It was graceful. One of the great things I've ever done.
How graceful are the big whites, mate, where they just go past you and their little beady eyes looking at you?
They are unbelievable. One was best part of 6 metres long, Bessie, I think it was called. But what was interesting with it, Rabbits, is we got out there, Fat hadn't taken his tablets, and he'd had a significant sip the night before, so he wasn't in great shape.
Ruse pup.
So we had this landline where the water, the great Rupert looked after us, the landline with your air coming in, and all I could see with Fat while we were down there under the water was little bits of vom coming out the sides of the landline, little chunklets. Anyway, he was right to be terrified because he looked like the great white shark's normal food.
Seal.
A great big white seal.
I could see him just putting me under a log somewhere under the sea and they'd eat me for a year.
That's crocodiles.
Well, the same thing with sharks. How do you know?
Because they don't have arms to wrestle you and put you anywhere.
Sharknado.
They were eyeing you off, Fat.
Anyway, I'm going to talk about something else that was very good. The Cats last night.
They were very, very good.
Very, very professional win. They've been great the last, I reckon, month. They were good against West Coast and North and Frio. But what they've done really well is rested their players. And their old boys especially, Jim, when you think about Hawk and Dangerfield and Duncan and Joel, they're running on top of the ground. They're up and about and they're looking really good. But the improvement for the Cats has come from Meningola, who's been outstanding.
Yes, been very good.
O'Connor, who did a really good job. He played on Butler last night, kept him really quiet.
Yep.
Parford, Myers, these younger blokes, a bit like Port Adelaide. Mm. You've got the old boys playing really well, but you've got the young blokes also doing their bit. And Meningola, mate, he runs nearly as good as Blixar's in the runs at the start of the year. But he's mad on his bike, and he'll ride 500 k's and things like that. He just loves bike riding, so he has come a long way. And I just had a look at his game. He's had 26 touches, 81% kicking efficiency. He had 11 marks, 5 intercept marks, and kicked 2 goals. He had a hell of a game last night.
No, I like them, Bill. I like what they're doing. I think I said that yesterday if you wind the tape back. They're in very good shape, Geelong, and we'll be there when the whips are cracking. Don't worry about that. Meningola, I almost put in the Popsy Kelly category. I don't think people realised all of Pops's career how good a player he was, and I reckon it's the same with Kelly and Duncan.
Bernie Vince asked last night
under the radar
if Meningola is All-Australian wing.
Well, after a minute, he's up there. No doubt about that. It was interesting what they were doing on the other wing too, where they're rotating, Duncan and Blitzars and all those guys. So really good professional performance. The Saints just got found out a little bit, but they'll bounce back, Jimmy boy. And
They did. Good opponent.
Also were good. With Fremantle and your little nephew, old Mekong
Steve. Well, Speaking of All-Australian, I'm not saying he's going to be, but he was nominated by the club as one of their squad of, you know, that the club has to put forward to the AFL committee. And I spoke to a selector who said, your nephew's been put up. And I thought, Angus, I thought, don't reckon it would be honest. He said, the other one at Freo. And, mate, he mightn't get in that team, but he might be pretty close to top five in their BNF. He's had a very good season, stupid little Mekong.
He has, but so, and he's got a couple of good young mates there in Chera and Sarong. Who are playing really good footy. Fremantle now 14th on the ladder, 4 wins. Hawthorn are 15th. They've dropped one below Freo with 4 wins. And poor old Hawks, they are just struggling, aren't they?
But, Bill, you and I have done a lot of Freo games for whatever reason. They've been in pretty much all of them. They were unlucky to get beaten, I reckon, by Brisbane. They were unlucky to get beaten by Essendon, I reckon. There's a couple of games they absolutely could have won. So they are ticking along all right, I reckon.
Long Muir is going very well, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Going all right, Big Justin. So good on him. And a big game tonight, Jim. Adelaide Collingwood, Adelaide Oval. What about the changes for Collingwood, which are just unbelievable?
There's just into the mic, Bill, into that the thing mic, in front Bill. Of you there, yeah. So you talk into that so dry. We can actually hear what you're saying, yeah.
Well, Collingwood have made 6 changes, Jim. Broomhead, now, Cameron.
For people who can't see this clown, he's now put the paper across the screen that's zooming him.
I'm reading it. Dunn, what about that? Lyndon Dunn hasn't played for 733 days, 2 knee recos, cried when he got told he was playing.
Yep.
But also Tim Broomhead, who broke his leg the last time. So there's some really good stories there, good ins there. Adelaide have made 5 changes, but Collingwood, they've just got to win this. They only sit
they should
inside
win
the 8.
Easy,
no, I don't know. They only sit
you don't
inside
know.
The 8 by 2 points, Jim.
Yeah, they should. If they're half decent, they should win that game easily because Adelaide are battling, and that's been kind. Battling is the nicest thing you can say about them.
All right.
I would expect Collingwood to play pretty well in that game of footy. Fat, what else you got?
This is still round 11 of footy too, by the way. Mm. Round 12 doesn't start till Thursday. I like a bit of snooker, Jim. You know I love my snooker, and I'm very good at snooker. And I was lucky enough to interview Ronnie O'Sullivan. He's a 5-time world champion, Jim.
Right.
I've got a snooker show called Pot Black. And and Ronnie O'Sullivan.
It's better than what he was going to go with, trust me.
Ronnie O'Sullivan is a 5-time world champion, Jim.
Yes.
And it always seems to be Ronnie and another bloke, if you follow the game, in Mark Choco Williams. They're always in the finals, Jim.
Right.
So always playing off in the finals. So I said to Ronnie, and have a listen to what Ronnie says. He's very honest and you love this. I said, Ronnie, are there any other kids out there coming through in the world game of snooker?
Probably if you asked me then, no. But then when you look at the standard of play, then I'd say, yeah, you know, because like I said, you know, even people like me and John and Mark, you know, if you look at the younger players coming through, then they're not that good really. Do you know what I mean? And most of them are like, you know, wouldn't even make... They'd probably do well as half-decent amateurs, do you know what I'm saying? Well, not even amateurs, I mean, they're so bad that, you know, a lot of them that you see now, you just think, Kai, I've probably got to lose an arm and a leg.
Got to lose an arm or a leg and I'd still beat him, he said.
What is he saying?
Well, he's saying there's no kids, no young snooker players coming through, Jim. It's just these old boys that just keep playing off every year after year.
Well, what happened to the bloody Aussie. Halcyon days of Hurricane Higgins and Ray Reardon and Jimmy White and Dennis Taylor and that bloody lot? Remember them? They were on Pot Black.
But they were all old blokes, weren't they, every time? Mm-hmm. There was an Aussie. What was the Aussie's bloke?
What was his name?
I'll have to
dig that up.
But anyway, that's Ronnie O'Sullivan. He's just calling it how it is, Jim. I like that. Well, and basketball, the Philly 76ers, they might play in the playoffs this year, Jim. Looks like they will. But they will be without our man, Benny Simmons.
Eddie Charlton.
Eddie Charlton's and what? Fast Eddie.
No, he doesn't play for the 76ers.
But Neil Robertson, they've got Neil in there doing his thing, yeah. But Rabs is right. The past champ is Fast Eddie Charlton.
And Walter Lindrum.
Well, that's back. Jesus, that's 100 years ago.
Jim, didn't they change the rules for him?
For Walter Lindrum?
In snooker, yeah.
They could have. I don't know. But the Lindrum Hotel, top of Springstreet, is named after him, and it's a beautiful establishment, too. If you're leaving the MCG fat, just head into the Lindrum and get yourself one off the wood.
Oh, the Walter I went into, I couldn't find it.
No, 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 the Lindrum Hotel, it's called. Fat, yeah.
Benny Simmons is not playing for the 76ers in the playoffs. That's bad news for him. He's got to have a knee. Not a knee reco, just have a little operation on the knee to get him better again.
Yes.
And I think that's about all. We've got Emma coming up, and I see we've got points bet. And we've got the, I can't believe it, the Triple M Footy Clangers, Jim. Thanks to our very good friends there at...
Amy.
Amy, Bill, yeah. The same sponsor we've had for that the whole way through the season.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, no. He has completely lost his way, this buffoon.
JB and Bill podcast special today because footy is on tonight. Emma Freeman up next. JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Emma Freedman is horse racing royalty and knows a thing or ten about the track.
Truth be told, guys, we were pretty successful.
She keeps Joey Montagna and Jay-Z Clark in check on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Do we really have to have the shirt off?
But we love Emma most because she's not afraid to be a little different.
I wear men's deodorant.
Really?
The women's ones smell really sweet and... Yeah.
Please welcome Emma Freedman.
Ah, here she is, Jimmy Boy, horse racing royalty here, and I am the horse man amongst us. I know everything about him. I've got two running around in Sandown tomorrow, and of course she hosts the Dead Set Legends, so she works with a couple of spuds, and she's about to speak to one, and one very good, intelligent man being me. Emma, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Good afternoon, boys, but let me tell you, JB, on a Saturday afternoon when we're finishing up doing Dead Set Legends, Bill struts in, you know, just into the studio. G'day, guys, how you going? I've got a tip for you. Bill, there was one Saturday where I reckon you gave us six or seven sure things. They're sure things. I've done the research. The mailman's come and delivered everything I need to know. Do you reckon one got up? Do you reckon one place? I reckon they all finish last. On this one particular Saturday. I don't know if you can declare yourself a genius there.
No, that's a fair point. But if you got a name Freedman, right, as a surname, you'd reckon you'd know something about it or you would get a tip. I can't remember the last one you've given.
Mate, I've had a bad 3 weeks, but the three weeks before that, we had a winner every week. Rabsy in the studio can attest to that.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're up and down. Yeah.
How are you travelling? Because I think you're 30 weeks in foal now with your second one. How's it all going?
I'm going well, guys. So little Will is 15 months old and a maniac, and then, 30 weeks in foal with the second. So we thought that we would have baby, 3 or 4 weeks after the grand final, but it seems like now I might be due grand final day. So
whenever that is.
Whenever that is. So sometime in mid to late October, which is awkward because that means, you know, Jay-Z and Joey are going to have to, you know, run that shit by themselves on that day.
I see the name William, so Billy. Is it William Anthony?
Yeah. It is William Anthony, yeah.
Guess what I am, Em.
You're Anthony William, aren't you?
Yes, yes. So you named it after me.
I saw this somewhere recently, and I was, because we watch you, Billy, often on a Saturday or Friday night when you're doing your points bet stuff. And
they're award-winning.
Charlie's a big fan of the hand gestures that you... That you're so animated with. Anyways, I think you referenced yourself as Anthony William, and we were like, what?
Yeah.
Well, further to that, Em, my middle name is Anthony. So there are Antonys and Anthonys everywhere, but I would say this about those points bet ads, Em. Your young fella William, who's one, would do a better job of reading an auto cue than Fat. It's dead set to use your show's name, embarrassing. Now, do we know what we're having? Because you've got a beautiful little boy. The second time around, Em, you got any clue?
I thought it was a girl to begin with because I was, wanting sweet foods and, just was a showing a little bit differently. And now I think I'm just resigned to the fact that I'm going to have a tribe of boys like you, JB. I think I'm just going to have, like, boys, like a little, which is fine, but they're just maniacs. Like, Will is just in it. Like, he just wants to know everything. He's in it everything. He's breaking everything. He's throwing everything. Like, he's really he's a great little boy, but little girls are, I think on the whole, a lot more gentle and calm.
Is that fair? No, it's 100%. I'll tell you what they do. They go through phases, boys. They go through the maniac phase. that you're going through now. Then they go through the grumpy phase, and that can last for 5 or 6 years. And then they go through what I would describe, Fat, as the Nimrod phase, where they just lose any ability to think properly. And I've got a 15 and 12-year-old, and both of them at the moment are smack bang in the middle of that. I just reefed them from out the front of our house, Em, because I know you're Sydney, but down here we've got all sorts of bloody problems living. I just reefed them from out the front, and they're all on skateboards, not a mask between them.
Oh, boys, what are you doing? You're going to cause Dad a 10 grand fine.
$5,000 fine each. I said to them, I am not paying it. So you're on your own.
How are they going to pay it, though? I'd be keen to know how they're going to earn the money.
I don't care. I'm hocking.
Jim will have to pay for it. Speaking of, you do like working with blokes, don't you, Em? Of course, with Joey Montagna and Jay Clark. But then on Sunday nights with Matty Johns, one of our favourites, but the other buffheads there with Burgess and Nathan Hindmarsh and all the bum sniffers. How do you go there?
Oh, don't forget Fletch. Don't forget Brian Fletcher, who is the biggest bearhead of them all. Look, I don't know. I just like working with blokes, I think, because I do genuinely love sport and I like a laugh and I don't take things too seriously, much like yourself. So I just enjoy the company of guys probably more than I do women, which is a bit, it's weird, isn't it? That's why I say I'm a bit unusual. I'm a bit, I don't know, I'm a bit out of the box.
Are you a tomboy? When you were growing up, were you a tomboy?
Probably was. Like, you know, we had stables at the back with at Flemington, so we're always in gumboots or, you know, with jodhpurs on and stuff like that. Yeah. So I was probably more of a tomboy, but then I did love to dance. So I actually can't, now you've just mentioned all that, I can't figure myself out. I'm lost.
But were you ever going to be a jockey or a trainer or anything?
What are you saying?
Like
hang on, what are you trying to allude to,
Bill? Fat?
Yeah, well, no, because you're born in a stable. You're born in a stable and couldn't find three wise men, but you were born there. But surely you would have thought maybe I might become a trainer or I might become a jockey, and then you just got a little bit bigger.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, my speaking of getting bigger, my son can only say three words. They are dog, dad, and bus. Guess what he calls me?
What?
Bus. I'm bus.
Bus.
Yeah, not mum, I'm bus.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. He loves buses and trucks and stuff, but I say, what's my name? And he goes, bus. And Charlie goes, well, look at the size of your dog. Surprise. No, to your answer, a question about the riding, I had no talent in that field. Having said that, I love being part of the industry, whether it's broadcast or putting syndicates together or, you know, just being involved in some way or another, hosting events. I love it. So I do want to be part of it for the rest of my days, but I don't have that talent. And I think it's wise when you can realize that when your family's been doing it for over 100 years to put your hand up and go, you know, I'll leave that to someone else because they're much better at it than me.
Hey, Em, we have a great association with St Andrews Beach Brewery, which is, of course, based at the incredible property that housed your family for many, many years.
Yeah.
Have you been down there to sit in the old stables and have food and enjoy that amazing job they've done on that incredible property?
I haven't, but my Uncle Michael lives in Sydney and he is part of it and he runs a lot of those operations. So I see him every couple of weeks and we talk about it, but my grandma's the biggest fan. So she lives down at Rye.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And she says, oh, you've got to book like 2 months in advance. Mm. Can you believe it? Just can't get a table. Like, don't they know that the property was named after me? And I can't get a table to enjoy a nice beer. So,
Em, it's so cool. You know, because we've worked together on Wide World of Sports, among other things, you know how little I know about horse racing. So I went there the first time, and Perch and the family have done a great job with your family. It's just nuts. I love it. Anyway, so I'm looking at all the different stables with all the names on it, and I said, not about anyone attached to the Friedman family, more Perch. I said to him and his young bloke, I said, mate, you've done a great job with this, but I said you can't be stealing other horses that weren't a Friedman horse. I said you got bloody Miss Andretti and Mummify and Sub Zero and Superimposed and Terrific and Doremus. I said it's got to be limited to bloody Friedman horses, otherwise it's not legitimate. And the bloke said, no, they're all Friedman horses. Shit, I didn't realise there were that many good ones.
I know. Miss Andretti, you know, she she was, you know, a great sprinter 10, 15 years ago now. I can't believe it's that far, that long ago, but, you know, she was an amazing mare to have in the stable. And then terrific in 1989. I might have told this yarn to you before, but he was a long shot for the Melbourne Cup that year, and I was about 18 months old. And we were living at Flemington with the horses out the back, and one day Dad couldn't find me at all. He's searching around, Emma, where's she gone? Walk about, much like my son William, just goes walkabouts doing neighbourhood watch. Yeah. Anyways, he found me sitting in between Torrific's two front legs, picking at his little chestnuts, the growths on his legs.
Yep.
And he's a big stallion. He goes, Emma, oh, come to me. Come on, let's just get up closely, you know, quietly and get out of there. Anyways, it was a big scare and a bit of a blow up at the stables. And then the next day he won the Melbourne Cup. So,
well, I was blown away, Em, by those horse names. I just looked at the names and went, Jesus, that's superstar. A significant body of work. They are superstars. But it's when you get back to Melbourne, when we finally open this bloody state up and get our acts together, take your family and get down there, because you will have the greatest day ever. You will love it more than anyone.
What's your favourite brew? Because I can't wait for a beer, to be honest, out of the St. Andrews stable. I hear the Golden Ale is very
good. Well, that's mine, but I'm a pretty boring beer drinker. I don't really go for the hopped up ones,
fruity,
but the Golden Ale. But they bring you out, don't they, Fat, the wooden tray with eight of the different ones, and you can try them all, and the food is superb.
Yep. Oh, so good. I fear that they, just a whisper as well, there might be a little market going on down there as well. They're going to put up a farmer's market, I think, so you can go down there, and if you're staying on the peninsula, you can pick up some local fresh produce from down there, I think, in the summer months once things are opened up, but that's the plan.
Hey, tell me, because we saw, or just before you say that, Fat, we saw in the press today about the Cox Plate potentially being run at night time to accommodate an AFL grand final if that happens. Now, you are racing royalty, as Bill said. Is that okay? Is it bad to move it to the night? Is racing people, would they be okay with that or not?
I think that's the one race we probably could move to the night because of a multitude of reasons. One being that we race under lights at the Valley already and people love night racing there. Ooh, yeah. But also because of the broadcast implications, I think, worldwide, being one of the greatest weight for age races in the world, I think that having that under lights would just add a little bit something special and broadcast into different countries at a more premium time. So I think that's the one race we could move. And who knows, that we could do it this year. But then what happens when the AFL Grand Final eventually... Well, I mean, it'll be a different year, I guess. It's just for this year, isn't it? Yeah.
It's only this year.
We'll have two night events then.
Yeah. What about Melbourne Cup, Caulfield Cup and the Spring Carnival? Stay as is or probably move back a week maybe? And crowds, any chance, do you think?
I think crowds are optimistic, guys. What do you think? I mean, the idea of having... I know they're, you know, different race clubs are kind of budgeting for between 25 and 50,000 fans if we can get to that. But it just seems like that's a lot of people to cram into one venue, especially when you're in stage four lockdown at the moment. In terms of moving things back a week, I don't think that would be too much of a problem for the programming of some of these horses. But any later than that, you run into issues because horses can only be up and running for a certain amount of time. And at the moment, of course, the industry is still going largely due to animal welfare issues. So I don't see how they can push things back too far. I think it might just be one of those carnivals where maybe it's just owners of the runners on track, which would be great if you had a runner in small race on Melbourne Cup Day or something like that. And then, the broadcast kind of side of it would take off. And we saw that in the autumn carnival that, the broadcast figures for the autumn carnival, particularly in Sydney, went through the roof. So if people can watch it like that, I think that might be the best solution this year.
Em, I want to see a virtual birdcage. I want to see a Zoom birdcage. I want to see it girls zooming themselves into the birdcage and taking selfies of themselves on the device they're zooming themselves with.
Well, you'd have to be pretty pissed to do that as well, I reckon. So
that can happen.
As is always the case on those days, people who are heading to the track just to socialise and head to the birdcage or whatever it is, the first drink is usually a champagne at 9 a.m. I think that'd have to be the prerequisite, though. You know, if you're going to participate in that first drink at 9, of course, drink and gamble responsibly, but otherwise it's going to be very boring. Because, I mean, who's sick of Zoom? You guys must be sick of Zoom.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I love it. I love looking at myself.
I'm more sick of Bill, but I am sick of Zoom.
Yeah.
And we want the shoes off and them in tears walking home too. Poor old girls when they walk home in tears with their shoes. Hey, who do you follow in the footy, Em? Essendon.
Oh, I'm an Essendon fan, yeah.
Why?
Well, I actually grew up like around the Moonee Ponds area and used to do swimming lessons at Windy Hill.
Oh.
And that's when they were still training there. And I remember going to the to swimming lessons one day and coming home and saying to Dad, who, as JB knows, is a staunch
Northman
supporter, I said, I'm going to support Essendon. And I don't think we spoke for 2 weeks.
that wouldn't have gone down well. Mind you, Em, they're going worse. So you might have jumped on the right horse.
Yeah, no, Essendon are a frustrating team to watch at the moment.
Hey,
one week you're up and one week you're down.
Yeah.
We love what you're doing, carrying a heavy load, Joey Montagna and Jay-Z. Heaviest is Jay-Z. He's no need to handicap, put anyone on the saddle of Jay-Z. He's carrying all the weight himself. But great to see you going so well. Good luck with everything you got coming up.
Thanks, guys. Great to chat to you, and good luck with your Zoom chats. And, we'll catch up about some more racing as we get closer to the carnival.
All right. Good to see you, Emsie.
Thanks, blokes.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Coming up, Bill's giving us his best tips for tonight's game, thanks to PointsBet.
These are Billy's tips.
Turning it into hot, cold, hard cash.
Thanks to PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly.
Yes, indeed. Our good friends at PointsBet. And what about tonight's game? Adelaide and Collingwood. Adelaide at $4. Collingwood, $1.25. That's very short, Rabsy.
$4. It's been absolutely pissing rain in Adelaide as well. Oh, rumours that Grundy might get rested as well.
Well, and it's at Adelaide Oval. They might win their first game. And I love this. The AFL Elite Odds Player Combos, $2.50 for Tex Walker and Jaden Stevenson to both kick one goals. $2.50, Rabs.
Oh, and the big Texan, I reckon he averages about a goal a game this year as well, Bill. And Jaden Stevenson, well, we know you can kick him from anywhere.
Spot on. Plus, PointsBet have 20 straight nights of early payouts. Lead at halftime, and guess what? You win. It's on every night for 20 straight days through to round 12. Plus, at PointsBet, my friends, we've got same-game multis, quick multis, elite odds, and around 500 different betting markets on every AFL game this round. So if you haven't already, jump online, download the PointsBet app, and please remember to gamble responsibly.
Billy's tips, thanks to PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime, and you win. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour's Clangers of the Week.
Oh boy, wowee.
Amy, clangers happen on and off the field.
Lucky you're with Amy.
Mark's been taken by Duncan, he just strolls to 40. Oh. He snaps and misses, he had Simpson in the square and he's open! Oh,
no, Simpson was sitting in the goal square, Baz, and he sort of half passed it and half had a shot.
4-1-25, the Bulldogs to the Lions, 4-6-36 and a half. Go the Boogies!
Don't blame it on the Boogies.
Joseph Ogilvy, a very good evening to you.
Good morning, Baz. Good evening, Rob.
It's a big night, Joe.
It's been a long day,
So, Big Charlie, 15 out, straight in front. Oh, he's missed.
Wow.
Now, this is what he's capable of doing, unfortunately.
Had a little bit of separation on Grimes, and the Bulls feels free to McCarthy. Oh, he had Charlie running past, but there's Skinner. Right place, right time. Skinner, bloody thing. He was 9 metres out.
That is the Amy Clangers from round 10 of AFL action on Triple M. Speaking of Clangers, Billy Brownless, James Brayshaw. This
What's
is the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Calling team, by the way.
Chance.
Smart and their act up, Billy. Some of these blokes. Bloody hell,
but there have been a lot of goals missed from about that 10-metre square.
No, that is true.
A lot of goals.
How does that happen?
A lot of clangers.
Wow. Right, so a Monday howler is basically how your joke was described. It was disgracefully bad. And we've had some nice feedback. Guy Dazina, Bill, seriously, that was crap. and then Stephen Field, fat looks a bit whacked. bottom of the barrel stuff here, says Tommy Saggio. And Brett Laird, I don't know if he's related to Stumpy, the great Stumpy Laird. That is his worst.
No.
So, Bill, they were horrible, the jokes.
Yes.
So what have you got by way of... Have you got anything better? While I ask you that question, I'm just going to point to something we've got coming up tomorrow. Yeah. Tonight, which is Adelaide, Collingwood, Adelaide Oval. Rhett Biglands, Dom Cassisi, Brendan Yates, and our man Greg Blewett.
Oh, Bluey.
Yes. So that's coming up tonight, of course, looking after
that's
Adelaide.
Tonight. That would be a good game. And then tomorrow, right. Dim,
yes.
We got the Hump Day quiz, very yes. popular amongst nice. The personnel cool. out there. And also a Giants player.
Nice.
You wanted to wish happy birthday to someone too, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Joe Stuckey, a very good friend there Joey. That ran the Carlton Footy Club, then ran Crown, and now beautiful. Working on her own. A very, very good girl. We all love her, Jimmy Boy. So happy birthday to Joey Stuckey.
And Tim, her husband, look after her. Push the boat out.
No, you won't. Poor old Joe runs the ship. She wears the pants, Jim. You know that.
Come on, Timmy. Dust some bloody... dead presidents out of your wallet and give us something properly enjoyable, please. All right, now, joke, Fat.
Yes, please.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Just looking for a gym.
Oh, no. Why have I got a bad feeling about this?
Every day.
Well, I sneak up on you, of course, and I've got a question for you, Jim.
Mm.
Why shouldn't you eat a clock?
Why?
Well, it's really time consuming.
Oh, no.
Especially if you go back for seconds.
Oh, my God.
And it could really f up your insides.
Oh, no. Honestly.
Like, stick him up, Jimmy boy.
No. Look, now he's got his mask on. I would keep that on. Seriously.
This is a Snoopy.
No.
No.
That's called a Snoopy. Very clever.
That's a good appalling. Joke. No, it's not. It's actually not.
There was three punchlines, and none of them hit.
No.
What about the grandpa?
That's a kid's joke.
Grandpa, how he died? His last words, Jim?
No, thanks, Bill. I don't want to know about Thailand either.
Gavin and I, we got on the plane. We flew to...
Didn't go anywhere near Thailand.
I think we went to...
No, there were no tears in his eyes.
He zooms dropped out.
No more talking fat.